Thank you for joining us online today. We are so thankful that you've taken the time to stop by and see what God is doing here at Family Church. Now, if this ministry has changed your life in any way, we would love to hear your story. Please email us at changedlife@familychurch.tv. Now for this week's message.
If you have your Bible, you can turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. And I want to begin by reading just a couple of verses, verses 16 through 18. The title of the teaching this morning is Temporary. Everybody say temporary. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. I'm going to read part of this and then stop and explain what's going on. And then I'm going to continue to read. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16 says, "Therefore, do not lose heart." I want to stop right there just for a second. The phrase "lose heart" in that verse means to become tired or to slip into despair. It also means mental or spiritual weariness, which might occur while you're trying to do good. And so if you go back and you read it in that context, Paul is saying, therefore, do not become tired, do not slip into despair, and do not allow mental or spiritual weariness to occur. Now, that sounds great, but how do you do that? So then he gives us the why. We're going to keep reading the verse. He says, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is what?
Temporary.
But what is unseen is eternal. And I just love that verse. Paul is teaching us a lesson here. There are three parts of us. You have your body, and from the day you're born, your body begins to prepare itself to go back to the ground. And then you have your soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And those were all designed by God to be supercharged by the Holy Spirit so that your time here on earth can not just be endured, but enjoyed. And then there's your spirit. And your spirit is that eternal part of you that will go back to God after you die. And so the Apostle Paul is teaching us here that there are a lot of things in life that are temporary. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. And that's really been going through my mind the last couple of weeks. And I wanted to do some stuff with this camping equipment because I knew that we were right at the 4th of July. Did anyone go camping over the 4th of July? No one? Oh, okay. Couple hands over there. We recently transitioned from spring into summer, and you can tell that this morning if you go outside because the humidity is really high. And this week, my family and I have been shooting fireworks and eating homemade ice cream, but believe it or not, it won't be long until we start thinking about pumpkin pies and falling leaves. We just had 8 weeks or 8 months of winter, and now we're excited about the falling leaves, but it's not long. It's 25 Sundays until Christmas. So, yeah, it's definitely the seasons are changing, and there's a lesson in that. We live on an earth that is constantly transitioning from one season into the next. And honestly, our lives resemble the changing seasons. And that's where my heart is this morning. In fact, everything about our lives is temporary, except for one thing. The only permanent thing that we have is what happens to us after we leave this life. That's the only permanent thing that we have. Everything else is just a changing season. So I want to begin this morning by giving you the definition of temporary. The word temporary means this: lasting only for a limited time, not permanent, short-term, momentary. That is exactly what the Apostle Paul said in our text. He was teaching us that what we see is temporary. What does that mean? That means that whatever you have going on in your life right now in this moment is temporary. Even if it's something that's good, One of the things that I don't do very well is celebrate my successes. And so as soon as I get it done, I move on to the next thing. But when you're in a season of winning in your life, I think that's a great time to maybe take a deep breath, breathe it all in, and enjoy it a little bit. Because the seasons of life change. And so everything that's happening in your life, if it's good, if it's bad, if it's somewhere in the middle, you need to know that that is really just temporary. And I'm going to show you that through the scripture. So let me set this up for you. As you move through your time here on earth, it's kind of like tent camping. And I want to read a scripture. It's found in Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to start reading at verse 8, and then we're going to skip down just a little bit. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8 says this. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Sounds to me like he was getting directions from Pastor Kevin. Right, Lori? I took him to Iowa. I knew home was west. He kept telling me to go east. So I listened to him. And then we were off track. So it says, look what it says. It says, even though he did not, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Now, I want you to look at verse 9, because there's something in this verse that I've never seen before. And I've read the book of Hebrews probably 1,000 times. There's something in verse 9 I've never seen. Verse 9 says, by faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. Look at this. He lived in what? Tents. As did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city whose foundation, whose architect and builder is God. And even though Abraham lived in the promised land, he was still living in a tent. Even though he was an heir to the promises of God, he was still looking forward to a city whose builder and architect is God. What's that mean? That means heaven is the only permanent thing, and in the meantime, we're all just a bunch of tent campers, okay? Heaven is the only permanent thing. And in the meantime, we're all just a bunch of tent campers. Now, if you have known me for any length of time, then you know that I hate to camp. I am not spending $1,000 to live like a homeless person. I'm not doing it. And people who camp, we have a little campsite that's set up over here this morning, and people who camp are always saying things like, we've got this little stove that we use when we're camping that is just like our stove at home, only 10 times as small and 50 times not as good, but we just love it. And you know what I think? I think people who camp have to constantly tell themselves how fun it is so that they don't realize how awful it is. That's my theory. You constantly have to tell yourself how good it is. Right, Lori?
Right.
Constantly. You constantly have to remind yourself how much you love smelling like a campfire. I just love that smell. No, you don't. It's terrible. You don't, that's the stove. I don't even have a toilet because there's not one. So let's take a poll. How many of you love to go tent camping? Okay, there's a lot of hands. How many of you are like me and you would rather stay at the Holiday Inn? That's the majority. And as much as I hate to camp, there are some benefits. Yeah. Is that my mom? Hey, let me just stop you right there. When I was a kid, we would leave our home with our bed to go sleep on the river. Why? I never liked it. But apparently my mom and dad, they do like it. Because there's a bunch of you weirdos here today that like it. So as much as I hate to camp, there are some benefits, and ironically, they have the same benefits that come with the fact that everything in our lives is temporary. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. How is camping like the life God has arranged for you? Now, if you want to be a little more spiritual, you could call this Lessons from Abraham. Lessons from Abraham, because Abraham lived in a tent while he was in the promised land. So while he was where God intended for him to be, whether you call that the place called best, whether you call that the promised land, whether you call that the place of abundance, whatever term you need to put on that, while Abraham was there, he still lived in a tent. And that's the thing that I never really noticed before about Hebrews chapter 11. And so there's some lessons from Abraham that we can learn. Because even if you're living in your best place right now, you're still living in a tent. So let me give you about five of these before we move on. These are things that benefits of camping that are ironically the same benefits that you can have here in life. Number one is this. Number one, if you don't like where you are, you can move. So if you're camping over here by the river, and you're like, I don't like the river. I want to camp over here by IHOP. How many of you know you can move? And in life, sometimes you need a new location. And here's why. It's hard to heal in the same environment where you got sick. And so if you're camping, you can move. You're like, I don't want to be by IHOP because I want to be by, it's dinner time, I want to be by Texas Roadhouse. You can move. And it's the same way in life. Sometimes there's a move. Sometimes you need the new job. Sometimes you need the new place. Sometimes you need a new environment. You can move. Number two, another benefit of camping that's also important in our spiritual lives is when you camp, there's new people. See, when you're camping, you meet a lot of other lunatics. And maybe you've seen this on my social media this morning, but this is kind of what was on my heart when I woke up. It's not hard to find your people in life. And those who constantly complain about you and criticize you are not your people. It's not hard to find your people, but I can tell you who isn't your people. The people who constantly complain about you and criticize you, those are not your people. So in camping, you meet new people. And I'm trying to move through these kind of quickly because I do have a lot of information this morning. Number three, improved moods. I don't understand this one because camping puts me in a bad mood. But apparently, for most people, camping improves their mood. Some of you are like, yeah, it does. I'm like, no, it don't. I'm not doing it right. I'm not doing it at all. Like, I'm not doing it. I've done it. But for some people, camping improves their mood. And it's the same way in life. It's not what happens to us. It's how we handle what happens to us. It's the mood that gets created because of what happens to us. Number four, and I'm trying to get through these. Number four is less stress. Because camping is downsizing, it's a simpler life. And sometimes we're just so overloaded and so overwhelmed because our lives are so full. Our lives are so full of stuff that we don't have time. We don't have time to decompress, and so our lives are so stressful. Number five, new challenges. When you're camping, there's a lot of problem solving. There's a lot of figuring things out, like where you're going to go to the bathroom, and trying to remember, like, leaves of three, wipe with thee, or... Is that right? That's why I don't camp. That's poison ivy, right? Okay, well, absolutely. That's why I don't camp. There's problem solving. There's figuring things out. There's you don't just get into the rut. And it's the same way in life. We have to take initiative. We have to figure things out. We have to problem solve. And so it's no wonder to me that as Abraham moved through the promised land, he lived in a tent. Now let's talk about that. Let's talk about the journey. I know that we no longer live under Old Testament law, but there are some good lessons that we can learn when we look at how God interacted with people, especially when it comes to the challenges of life. And we read about earlier about Abraham. And in order to get to the promised land, they had to journey through what was called the wilderness. And the whole time they were journeying through the wilderness, they were obviously dwelling in tents. And if you think, you know, I think if there's one central theme in the Old Testament, or even in the New Testament, when it comes to life on planet Earth, it would be this. Everything in this world is temporary. And what I mean by that is this. This is not the place in which we stay. It's the place through which we journey. And that's why we can't be addicted to our feelings. That's why we can't be governed by our flesh. That's why we can't be spiritually asleep. Because this is not the place we stay. This is the place through which we journey. We pass through this world. It's not our permanent home. That's why when someone you love makes the journey from this life into the next, they don't leave home, they go home. Amen. We either believe that or we don't. And we're sad for us, and we should be, but we can be happy for them because they don't leave home, they go home. Why? Because we live in a tent world. I'll put that tent out there where you can see it. We live in a tent world. Everything in this world changes. Every circumstance, every experience, every stage of life. Guess what? They're all just tents. And as you move through life, you're going to go from one tent to the next. Your childhood was a tent in which you once dwelt, and then you moved on. Hopefully you moved on. No. No. I was thinking about this morning. I have lived in many different bodies or tents. I was an infant. So at one time my tent was, how much did I weigh, Mom? 8'4", 8 pounds, 4 ounces. That's, yeah. Trent and Pate were both way bigger than that. So I've lived in many different tents. I was an infant. I was a toddler. I was a child. I was a teenager. I was a young adult. And now I'm a slightly past middle-aged man. I have literally lived in 8 or 9 different tents in my life. And with each new tent comes new challenges. Can anyone else relate? And the ironic thing is, I still feel the same on the inside, but I don't look the same on the outside. Yeah. I said this before, but inside every old person is a very surprised young person. But I've lived in many different tents in my life. And there's a lesson there, because your good times, your bad times, your successes, your failures, your problems, your joys, your sorrows, your adult life, and your old age, every single one of them is just a temporary tent and part of your experience here on earth. Every single one of them is a part of your journey. Even your physical body is a tent, temporary and always changing. And what I have to remind myself on a daily basis is that I'm only journeying through here. So we've talked about the journey, but where's the journey taking us? Let's talk about that for a moment. Ultimately, we know that the journey is taking us to heaven. And heaven is the place where all of this temporary goes away. Remember what the scripture said? It said that Abraham was looking for a city whose builder and architect is God. A city is permanent. A tent is temporary. And so ultimately we know that our journey through the earth is designed to get us to heaven. And that's why it's so important that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ, I'm just going to say it, Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except by me. And so Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And so that's why we have to take our relationship with Jesus Christ very seriously, because eternity is forever. So ultimately our journey is taking us to heaven. But it's more than that. It's way more than that. It's also a journey from where you are right now in this moment of your life to the next place that God has for you. Has it dawned on you that your current reality, whether good or bad, is only temporary? Has that dawned on you? One thing that I used to say in the counseling office all the time was, nothing is ever as good as it seems, and nothing is ever as bad as it seems. And so your current reality right now in this moment is temporary. The trick is to not be distracted by your current scenery, because it will change. Why will it change? Because you're only camping. And sometimes when you're in a really hard season, you have to say to yourself, I'm only camping. I'm only camping. This is not my permanent place. I'm only camping because ultimately I'm going on to a city whose builder and architect is God. But beyond that, I'm going on to something better that God has already pre-prepared for me. And so my third point this morning is this. God, number three, God is the only constant in your temporary. That's it. God is the only constant in your temporary. I mean, you're going to have jobs that you hate. You're going to have jobs that you love. You're going to have friends that are friends for life and friends that are friends only for a season. You're going to go through all these different phases. There's going to be a time when your body is young and you feel strong. There's going to be a time when you feel like your body is weak because you're getting older. There's going to be seasons of health. There's going to be seasons of sickness. There's going to be seasons when you have more than enough and times when you think that maybe you don't have enough. But I can tell you the only constant thing that you have in your life is God. He's the only constant thing. Because the sands of life are always shifting. So God is the only constant thing in your temporary. And you may be thinking, well, you know, that sounds great, Larry, but I don't really know where God is right now because I haven't seen God at my campsite for a while. Did you know that there is a book in the Bible that never mentions the name of God? How many of you didn't know that? Okay? There is a book in the Bible that never mentions the name of God. That book is the book of Esther. Now, does that make the book of Esther less important than the other books? No. The point I'm trying to make is that even though the name of God is never mentioned, the hand of God is clearly seen in the book of Esther. The name of God is never mentioned, but God is there. He is unseen. He is turning every event around to fulfill his purpose. Esther is the book of the unmentioned God. And occasionally on your journey, you will camp for a while in the book of Esther. Let's talk about that for a moment. Esther represents all the times you don't feel the presence of God. Esther represents all the times when you don't hear his voice. Esther represents all the times when you don't see his hand. Esther represents all the times when there's no sign of his love or his purpose for you. Esther represents all the times when God seems far away or maybe not even there at all. The book of Esther is proof that even if you don't feel God's presence, God is still there. Even though you don't see his hand, his hand is still moving. Even though you don't hear his voice is still speaking. Even when you feel abandoned or alone, camped on the backside of nowhere, guess what? God is still there. He is still there. How do you know? How do you know, Larry? Because I've been that guy camped on the backside of nowhere. I've been that guy who the only good thing in my bad thing was God. I've been that guy who the only hope that I had wasn't rooted in the scenery around me, but was rooted in what I couldn't see. And at the time, it was God. But guess what? He was there. Why? Because my troubles are only temporary. And what you do in your trouble determines whether or not you advance or whether you just get stuck there. And so in the book of Esther, the name of God is never mentioned, but the hand of God is everywhere. And that's the same way in your life. Because of the book of Esther, instead of saying God is hopelessly far away from me, you can confidently say God is right beside me working out every detail. I want to read just a couple of verses here. Well, actually, I want to read more than a couple. The psalmist David understood this, and he actually said many of these same things in Psalm 139. And I'm going to just read the whole thing because it's short. David knew this. In Psalm 139, David says, "You have searched for me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in before and behind, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain." Now look at verse 7. "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day. For darkness is as light to you." I love that chapter. Because David is saying, God is with me. God is with me. God is with me. Think about this. One of the very last things that Jesus said to his disciples right before he went back to heaven after his resurrection is a one sentence phrase that will change your life if you can get a hold of it. Jesus said this, "I am with you always, even to the very end of the world." Like, I just feel like my world is ending. Okay, fine. Guess what? Jesus is with you always. I feel like my world is crumbling. Okay, fine. But Jesus is with you always. Why? Because we're just camping. We're just camping. Abraham in the promised land, living in a tent until he finally got to go to that city whose builder and architect is God. You and I, living in our promised land, living in the blessing and the bonuses and the benefits of God's presence, still living in a tent on our way to a city whose builder and architect is God. Do you get that? Man, that'll change you. That'll change you. When you begin to look at life from that perspective, then suddenly everything shifts. And you do understand that you need to put more emphasis on the things that you don't see rather than on the things that you see. And thank God we're just passing through here. Because I've read about heaven, and in heaven there are no more tears. And that's going to be a good thing. There's no sickness, absolutely. There's no grieving. No, none of that. Absolutely. I've read about heaven, and heaven is going to be a whole lot better than tent camping. Now that I think of it, everything is better than tent camping. Oh man, guys. We have so much to be thankful for today, don't we? We do. Let's all stand. Musicians are coming back. We're gonna pray. Let's pray. Lord, I can so relate to Hebrews chapter 11. I can relate to Abraham. Not that I'm anywhere near his level, but I do know that while I'm living in my promised land, whatever that looks like for me, I'm still just living in a tent. I'm still just going from this place to the next place to the next place until I finally get to the finish line, which is that city whose builder and architect is God. And in the meantime, Lord, I just have to keep my perspective good and to keep moving forward. And I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit lives in me and He has empowered me to do that. And so I just pray today, God, that as we close up this service this morning, as we think about, Lord, all of the benefits that you have for us, as we think about how life is sometimes like tent camping, if we're in a difficult spot, Lord, we're not glued to the ground. We can move. Like we can get out of that environment that's made us sick, and we can get into a healthy environment. Lord, we can find our people. We can find those that make our lives better, not worse. We can find that environment of less stress. We can find that environment where our moods are better. We can find that environment of overcoming challenges. I think we can all understand that. I think we can all see that, Lord. And I believe that today is going to be a breakthrough day, Lord, for your people in this place. In Jesus' name. If you would, just keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning, just so that you can be shut off with God. And I want to do something today. I want you to just ask the Holy Spirit what He has to say to you this morning concerning this teaching. You don't have to say it out loud, because remember, the scripture says that God knows the words before they even come out of our mouth. And so God can hear you. He can hear your thought this morning. And so I want you to ask the Holy Spirit right now what He is saying to you about the temporary. And then just take a moment and listen. Lord, thank you that we're just passing through. Thank you that you have us on our way, not just to heaven, but to the next place, the next good place, the next best place. Thank you. We love you. We're thankful today. In Jesus' name, amen.